And away we go. It is a Getaway Friday morning here. Friday, January the 7th, 2022. Remember to say that right. 14 minutes past the hour. Now, this morning, we are going to do the pastor spot a little earlier than normal because of a schedule conflict with Pastor Whitaker, but that is no problem at all. This is the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, live here on WWGH Radio. Can be heard at its normal time, Friday at 11:10 a.m., repeated on Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and on Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. Also, check out the website, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives, and you can see and listen to past episodes dating back to March of 2018. The Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service, Sunday message, airs on this station at 12:15 on Sunday afternoon. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm doing great. Sorry about the scheduling conflict. I am doing my part. The schools are really struggling with transportation issues, with people being well, and I'm doing my part in filling in and helping out in a transportation area with one of the schools for the next month or so. So I'm doing a little something I don't normally do. Yeah. But anyway, it's glad to help where we can, right?
That's right. Got to do what we got to do.
Hey, you know, we're also being sponsored by Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions. They take care of all of our insurance needs and do a good job. And Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions, oh boy, they're everywhere. They're in Galleon and Cardington and just all over the place here, Marion. So they have to take care of your insurance needs. Jeff Young's in the group over there, a good group of people. And also Jeff has Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect, which has been very successful. And I believe that they are open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, if I'm not mistaken. But they take care of all your bicycle needs, whether you need to fix things or whatnot. But they're there to do that. So anyway, good to be here this morning. I am the pastor of Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our number there is 740-494-2222. You can call us for service times, or if you need to get a hold of me, or whatever the need is. Our service times are on Sunday at 10:30 and Bible study hour at 9:30, and we also have midweek services. A lot of kids things going on, although last week we had to postpone our kids time this last Tuesday, and because of there was so much illness out there, we just didn't want our kids to come in and it get spread to more people. And we canceled our midweek services this week for the same reason, our Bible studies and whatnot. I did a little blurb on the live feed, but I just didn't want people coming together and just, they're sick out there now.
They certainly are.
Between the flus and the COVID, and it just seems like everybody's got something. But anyway, something I want to talk about this morning I think is kind of important. I want to talk about, I don't normally delve into politics much, but I'm gonna touch there a little this morning. I'm gonna talk about power, and I'm gonna talk about how power corrupts. And what I like to take us all the way back to, and it goes long before this. But if I take you all the way back to the birth of Jesus, we just celebrated Christmas. You remember that Herod decided that he wanted to say that he wanted to go worship the Christ child, but the truth was he wanted to find him and kill him because he was afraid he would take his power. And it's really interesting, Scott, how many Bible things go back to. If you find them, you can find them historically. Now, in that particular case, Herod sent people in to kill everyone in that region of Bethlehem that were 2 years and under because of the time frame of not knowing exactly how old the child was. And historically, we can even go back to a time when that happened there, that there was a killing of the innocents. So it's really interesting that so many of these things can be collaborated. But since then, you think about over history and how many times, not only in the Bible, Christ going, being crucified was really a power struggle. It was the Jewish power struggle they didn't want to lose their positions, and they felt that this was something that it threatened them. It threatened them and their power, and that's always been a problem. And we've always talked about how absolute power corrupts. And it does, because people start getting a feeling of why is it that we see in so many powerful people, and it crosses over more so in our culture to women and men today, because women are becoming more powerful in many cases. And we find out that it's not just a man thing, it's a woman thing too, that the corruption can go both ways. And then, of course, we look at our political parties and we see the corruption can go both ways. And the problem is, it's not that they're politicians. It's not that they're male. It's not that they're female. It's not that they're Democrat. It's not that they're Republican. It's not that any of those things. The problem is power and what it does when we don't stick to some form of a moral code and a moral base. And we let power go to our head. We even see it, and I'm not afraid to say this because it's the truth, and I don't ever want to hide from anything. We've even seen this in the church. We've seen people that, you know, they get to a point where they, I don't know if they think they're Teflon or they have rights or what it is. But in talking about that, I'm going to let you voice your thought on that particular subject.
Well, you know, it's
not necessarily that ends a specific, but.
Well, it's interesting to me because a lot of times I think about this in every walk of life. I think about it in management, in business. I think about it in politics. I think about it in church. Any place where there is someone, a person, that can garner a lot of power. But what I normally think about when I think about those situations, I think, well, now how did they get that? Because nobody just walks in and says, I'm powerful. You don't just walk in the front door and do that. And normally what I have seen, and nothing's 100%, but what I notice is usually the people that are surrounding them, because you have to get power over other people. And what normally happens is that person is a very driven person. They're driven to do the best they can.
Right.
The other people aren't. And when you let somebody become invaluable, where they can say, if I walk out, this whole place is going to fold up. Exactly. Now they got your power. But you let that happen.
Excellent point, Scott. Yeah. Excellent point. I completely agree. I'll tell you a story. I knew a pastor several years ago. And when he came into this particular church, he I think that he had all the right intentions. I think that I think he's a good man. He was in the right place. But I watched and I even warned, which fell on deaf ears because I was a naysayer by warning, because I started to watch people idolize him and tell him how great he was, and he was young, and tell him how mature he was beyond years, and how great he was, and, you know, all of a sudden this guy could do no wrong, and I watched it go to his head, and I watched over a few years, everything start, some of the stuff that he did was just like, whoa, I don't believe this. But he had such a support base around him that idolized him, and in turn, he loved them back because that was his support base. And today, the man's not even in ministry. Mm-hmm. He had to leave ministry. And see, you're right, because what happens, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly where I was headed today. We give people the power they have, and sometimes we get upset, but we're the ones that did it. And here's my point. We are a government in the United States, of the people, by the people, and for the people, right? Isn't that how we were founded?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have become a government that is for the government, of the government, and that's it, you know, and by the government. And, I mean, it's so evident in so many areas, and across it completely. Folks, I want to tell you something out there. I don't care if you are a completely left conservative Republican, or you're off the charts, or a right conservative Republican, or a completely left off the charts liberal. I don't care which direction you are or to what extreme. Listen to this. Absolute power corrupts, and it corrupts both parties in the same way. And nothing is more evident today of that than the stalemate we have in Congress. And the problem is, you've got one party that doesn't want to lose their power, and one party that wants power. And then when the White House switches, or when the Congress switches its balance, it flips the other way. And one points a finger at one points a finger at the other. And you can come on and demagogue all day long about what some politician's doing or what's going on here or what they said or what they did. The truth is, it's all about how do I keep my power, and it's all about how can I make the other person look bad. And there's where I want to go for a minute, because I think this is very important. Scott, I think there's probably areas, I don't know your exact political beliefs, and you don't know mine exactly. You probably have a pretty good idea. But here's the point. There's areas that I'm sure that politically, not just politically, but probably morally and socially, I think there's areas that we probably are in total agreement. And there's probably areas politically that community-wise that we might not agree on everything. We might be that far apart, I'm not sure. But my point being, if Scott Spears was driving down the road and saw someone standing on the corner with no coat, shivering, and it was cold out, and he had a sweater on the back seat of his car, I can confidently say that I know Scott Spears would pull over and give them a sweater and say, here, or you want to get in, and well, I don't know if it's even safe today to tell people to get in and warm up, but anyway, is there someone I can call, is there, you know, whatever the case may be. But you would have enough compassion to stop and deal with that, okay? Now, there may be some place politically that you and I could go to brawl over if we wanted to. But the point is, I recognize that you're a decent human being. You see what I mean? And here's the problem, that today when people disagree with us, they're bad across the board, and we slander them and slash them any way we can get.
You know, it's interesting, because I've been thinking about this lately, because yesterday being the anniversary of January the 6th, and we did we had a couple politicians on yesterday morning just to commemorate the day. And what was interesting to me is I actually had to do a little bit of research to be up exactly on what's going on politically today, because really, for the last couple years, I don't pay much attention to it anymore. I've been much more focused on the local politics. So it's interesting, because before that never would have happened. I would have known because it was there and it was all the time, and so on and so forth. And just the other point I want to make on this is, what I think happens is, again, no matter which party or whatever you belong to or what you agree and don't agree on, the problem always lies to me is if you have two people and you say, okay, I prefer that one, this one's not as great, okay, that's fine. The problem comes when you have absolute love for one, and you can put the blinders on, because then the other one is always wrong.
You know what's funny, Scott, is that that absolute love is something we fantasize, or it's something that we grab onto to identify with. Because quite frankly, none of these politicians, none of them, Scott Spears knows personally.
No.
Or Steve Whitaker knows personally. We don't know what goes on in their home. We don't know what goes on in the back room or the discussions with their friends when we're not around. We see what they want us to see, and that's all we see. And that's really difficult. So be careful where your loyalties lie. And what I'm coming back to on this is, have some personal principles and some personal things about you. This is America. In America, you are free to have your own ideals and thoughts, and then you look at the person that you feel is going to, at least the best to your knowledge, and what you can come up with, if you take a few times, not just listen to the media, but do some little bit of research, like you said you did yesterday, and then you make that decision, and make a decision knowing full well in your mind, this is the best I can come up with, but I don't know everything, and I'll never know everything, so I'm not going to listen to someone that says they do.
Well, you know, locally, it's interesting, because a lot of people do know their local politician to some degree. And when one of them does something wrong, it's very hard now. It didn't used to be this hard, but it's very hard in 2021, 2022, for people to say, well, they didn't exactly handle that great, but I still like them. That doesn't happen anymore. If I like them, they're right, and everybody's out to get them. That's not always the case.
It's not. You know, I several years ago, I'm going back many, many years now. When I was in elementary school, Chalmers P. Wiley, lifetime congressman, came to our school. He loved going to the schools and talking to kids, and I give him kudos for that. You know, our kids needed to know about government, need to learn. He was great. And because he was so personable and out there in the community, people loved him. But I talked to a man in politics that had served at that time later. And he said that Chalmers P. Wiley was probably the most worthless congressman we ever. He never got anything done of any substance. He just kind of rode the wave. Now, I don't know that that's true or not, but I do know that maybe that is true, but I know because of the persona and what was out there, everyone loved him, and if I would have said that to someone, I'd have got a chewing out because of it. So the facts weren't necessarily, I don't know what they were now.
And you know,
we need to remember, we don't know what they are.
No, but that's okay that, man, he's a personable guy, he's great. That could all very well be true, but I don't know anybody who's immune from mistakes.
No. You know, yesterday I purposely did not watch any of the news coverage because it was just so politicized. And I didn't want to watch it because I knew how politicized it was going to be. It didn't matter what station you watched. If you watched something that was completely... I mean, here's part of the problem with our news today. They have so galvanized themselves into who they are and where they are that when a news anchor or a news reporter says something, there's no one on their station or on that news that will challenge that. So if you go one way, you're not challenged. Turn it to another station that has a complete opposite view, and they're not challenged. So therefore, whichever one you write, that's whichever station you spend most of your time with, that's generally the direction you're going to think. And we're not getting people challenging each other, partially because, you know, it used to be with reporters that, you know, two sources minimum and they better be credible. Now it's one source and it doesn't matter if they're credible or not. Whatever comes in, they just want to jump the other program or get the better ratings, and it makes it difficult for the American people to see the truth. You know, I know that one of the biggest complaints people have had over, look, what happened on January 6th was terrible. You can blame the president, you can blame anyone. Okay, look, there's always blame to go around. There's always people that do this, that. The truth is, a bunch of people got whipped up in a frenzy and really went beyond what they should have. First of all, it was not an insurrection. An insurrection is when people try to overthrow a government. It has been through history from day one. None of these people were trying to overthrow a government. They did not bring guns. They didn't go into intend to kill anybody. They didn't set fires. They got overwhelmed. Initially, a lot of them were led into the Capitol. But no, what were they doing breaking windows and sitting on desks? That was terrible stuff. But to make it look like it was a coup, that never was. Come on. People were whipped up, and there were some people that went way overboard. Now, take us back several months. And during the whole Black Lives Matter protests, there were government buildings destroyed. There were police departments destroyed. There were whole city blocks burnt down. And the very people that called this a coup and an insurrection called that a mostly peaceful protest. So you see where people get so polarized and angry and mad. Now, I'm not here to say whether either one of them is valid exactly. What I'm saying is we have to stop letting the demagoguery and the partisanship form our opinions. I think it's despicable that anyone would storm the Capitol building. That's a sign of our government and who we are. I think that at the same time, it's despicable for people to burn people's businesses down that they never knew a thing about or even knew who they were politically, or just because you want to burn and rant and rave and get your point across, you're destroying stuff in America. I think both those things are horrible things. It's kind of like this, and I aligned it with this yesterday. If I shoot someone in the Capitol building, it's a huge situation and murder. But if I kill somebody out in the street, what if we said if I kill someone in the street, it's not? But if I kill someone in the Capitol, it is. Murder's murder, right? So if you riot in the Capitol, it's a riot. If you riot in the street, come on, it's a riot. You know, if you destroy and maim and burn in the Capitol, it's a crime. If you destroy and do all this stuff in the streets, it's a crime. we can't decide that crimes are different depending on where they take place.
You know, I think that's a problem that a lot of people have. I think a lot of people have this problem. Once again, if you would murder somebody in the street, if you would murder somebody at the Capitol, if you'd murder somebody in war, is murder murder? And I think that's been a question that people have been asking for a long, long time. You're not forced to do it. I don't know. It's a very big, big question.
It is a big question, but where I'm kind of going to pull all this in together this morning, what I'm trying to talk about is, look, I want people to understand something, that once again, we are a people that we're supposed to be, our government is supposed to be of the people, for the people, and by the people. In other words, the people elect. Washington doesn't pull tricks to get people where they want them and where they don't, you know. We've all seen it everywhere in all different, the accusations never, ever, ever stop. The accusations of voter fraud on both sides never stop. The accusations of all this, it just depends on who wins and who loses and who's in and who's out. Now, do I believe, sure I believe it goes on. These are corrupt people. We've given them too much power, and there's corruption out there. And we don't know everything that goes on. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know when there's a huge breaking story in Washington, whether it was something that was ginned up or whether it was something that was legitimate. Scott, you and I don't know. So there's part of the problem. So if this government is supposed to serve us, it is our responsibility. First, decide who we are. Decide who Scott Spears is. Decide who Steve Whitaker is. What I believe. What are the standards in which I see? Where do I want to see our country go? Where do I want to see my local government go? What do I want to see happen in Marion, Ohio? What do I want to see happen in Prospect, Ohio? Then it is our job, it truly is, as protectors of this nation. We're the protectors, not the government. We, in a sense, hire them to protect us, and they take their orders from us and their directors. We need to decide what direction we want to go, and then we have to plug in actively and do so. I've always been one of those people that has said, don't complain about it unless you're willing to do something about it. And that goes whether it's in the church, whether it's in your community, whatever it is, if you're not willing to step up and help be a part of the solution, you become part of the problem. In other words, and also, if you're not going to be part of the solution, just be quiet about it, because you're not going to do anything anyway. So my point is, decide who we are. And in deciding who we are, then decide, okay, where's these people, where do these people stand? Right now, what we're dealing with are, and most people would tell you, they don't even know their party's platform. They really don't. But it's your job to know what their platform is. You know what? Google it. You can read it. And here's the whole point. Once you Google, you know, Republican Party platform, Democrat Party platform, Libertarian Party platform, it's right there. Read it. First of all, start with one that you can go with. If something really bothers you about another one, you know, don't go that way. Or look at the two and say, well, I can live with this. I can't live. Decide what you're going to do. Now there's where you are. And then you start looking at candidates. You know what? You can Google any candidate. Da-da-da-da-da. Portman, voting record, right? Pelosi, da-da-da, voting record. How hard is that? You can look at the issues that are out there. Well, where do I stand on these issues? All these things are at our fingertips that we can do in 20 minutes. People will spend more time Googling what happened, what Antonio Brown did on the football field, and they'll spend an hour scrolling and researching, but they won't take 15 minutes to do what I just said, but at the same time, they'll be out there in the street jawing about this person did that, and I don't believe this, and this, and half the time they're dead wrong. It's such a simple thing to do. And I really believe that if we would take more personal responsibility with our lives and stand up for what you believe in, then you're a true American. Don't wave the American flag and tell me how you're a patriotic, true American when you won't even take the time to figure out what that really means or who you really are. You know, there was a time in this country, this is interesting too, there was a time when we weren't so polarized. And there was a time when I could get to know Scott Spears, nice guy down the street. You know, I mow his grass once a week. We talk over the fence, whatever the case. And my first thought doesn't go to, I wonder what his politics are. And that has moved right to the forefront of everyone. We've become so divided. And the problem is in this country, this is a great nation. A great nation that was built on debate. Right? It was built on honest debate. And it was built on people debating, but then making a decision, wherever that decision went, you know, we would hold them in check and we would do what we needed to do. Now, our politicians have become so afraid of their own party attacking them, both sides, that they're just voting right down the line. I mean, look at the House. You know, the House gets one people that votes against the majority, and man, you believe that he did that. Same way the Republicans. Look, I can't believe they're voting this way. You got Collins on one side, you got Manchin on the other. You know, they're holding out this and that. And it's like, quite frankly, the way it should be, there should be a lot of movement in those parties, both ways. I mean, it should work that way. And the problem is they're scared to death. If when President Obama was in power, and anyone dare question anything that he did, instantly they were a racist because he was black. You telling me that all of his opinions were made because he was black? That's racist in itself. You mean he couldn't be enough free thinker that he couldn't think of something and have an opinion that didn't go back to his race? But yet if someone spoke out against anything he did, they hated him because he was a black man and they were racist. Now, that's ridiculous. And it would be portrayed that way. And the minute someone would say that, then it was all over the news. That, you know, and first they'd have what the guy said, and then they'd have someone else on there that says, well, the reason he said that's because they're a racist and they can't accept that we have a black president. Well, it had nothing to do with it. And it goes back the other way, the exact same way. You know, the reason Joe Biden did that and said that is because he's his mind's not all there. You know, he's you know, everyone's telling him what to say because his mind's gone or back. You know, and it's like, can you people please just for 5 minutes let somebody have a decent debate and talk about the issues and what's really going on without going back to the nonstop personal attacks on both sides? You know, I will tell you, I did not vote for Barack Obama. I did not. But at the same time, I'll tell you a few black people I did vote for. You know, and it goes way back. You know, I voted for a black man for governor of this state that didn't win. And his own party didn't even back him after they said he would. And that kind of ticked me off for quite some time. But, you know, on and on it goes. You know, we've had some wonderful people of color run for office in this country. And I've loved many of them, supported them well over the white candidates. And then, of course, they didn't get in. But I would have gladly accepted them. But because I didn't vote for Barack Obama, people would call me a racist for that. And that's not fair. I was voting straight issues and who they were and what they said. And, you know, we've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop attacking each other. And we've got to stop deciding, because someone doesn't agree with me, I'm going to tear them apart personally. And that's where we really get into a problem. You know, I don't agree with this guy politically, so I'm going to dig up whatever dirt I can, whether it's true or not. You know, and I'm going to destroy them. You know, this radio station has had people in the past that haven't liked it. And they make it their personal vendetta to try to dig up dirt and bring anybody down they can. What good are they getting? Are you telling me that that's enriching that person's life to do that? Are we wanting to enrich our lives, or are we wanting to be bitter jerks? And we got to ask that question. You know, why is someone constantly coming on a show and trashing another politicians or trashing a party over and over and over again? I'll go back to this. I'll say, get a life. You know, and we talked about a guy that was on a while back that was making comments about a state politician that were just totally off the wall and derogatory. Someone that's in power now, you know, calling them a Nazi or something or other. And, you know, come on, where are you getting that at? Okay, so you don't agree with what they said. Do you realize what a Nazi truly was and what they did? I have not seen that politician rounding up Jews and killing them. You know what I'm saying? Or children or babies. I haven't seen them doing that. But just because they make a decision that you think is not something that is, I mean, we have freedoms in this country. We need to protect them. But somebody can make a decision, and in their mind, making the right decision, that would never in a million years want to step away from liberty. And maybe they just have been counseled the wrong way or moved the wrong way. But you don't drag them down into the dirt, into the toilet. And I don't care who they are. I've had personal friends in both parties. I'm saying personal friends, that we have good talks and I admire the conversation. I can have friends that don't agree with me. How am I ever going to get someone, if I feel that what I believe is right, and I do, if I feel that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, if I believe that he has designed a life for each of us individually and he wants us to live that life and it's the best life we can live and believing and trusting him will give us the best satisfaction in our life. If I want you to believe that and listen to me and understand that, am I ever going to win you by trashing you? Absolutely not. Now, I'll say this. A lot of times, Christians won't want to get involved with anything publicly or say anything negative that needs to be said sometimes because, oh, we got to be looked as kind people and we don't. Look, Jesus himself, did you ever read any of the scriptures where Jesus just ripped the Pharisees to pieces and the stuff that he called them and said about, because they were, he was exposing the truth of what they were doing to people. He was exposing the dishonesty and the corruption among them that was honest dishonesty and corruption and the way they were leading the people. These were supposed to be religious leaders, and they were supposed to be leaders of Israel. And the problem is they were cheating people. They were stealing from them. They were putting themselves on a pedestal. It was absolute power. It absolutely corrupted. And Jesus exposed that. There's nothing wrong with when you're in the right exposing something. We don't need to keep our heads in the sand. But to literally decide that you're going to tear somebody apart because they don't agree with you, I have seen more. I think that there's been more good people leave politics early because they just say, I can't do this. Or there's been people that really feel they could make a difference that will never even do it because I'm not dragging my family through this, right? What if you married somebody, and I truly believe that at any time people can change their lives, right? We believe that. So with that being said, what if I married somebody that was, what if I married a woman that had been a prostitute? Let's just say that. But, you know, she saw the error in her ways. She decided that, you know, she repented of that lifestyle. We formed a relationship, fell in love, got married, and we're living a wonderful, well-adjusted life. And so, like a dummy, I decided to get into politics, not thinking about this. And you'd almost have to be in this culture to get in politics. And next thing you know, it's all over the news. Your wife's a prostitute. There's people talking about when they, you know, that are people you had relations with. And can you imagine that? You know, how fair would that be? No fairness whatsoever. But I can guarantee you, and I think you can agree, that would come out.
Well, there is one of the problems, even more to the point, is that if you have a person running for office, because this seems to be the way this all goes, if you have a person running for office, let's say, who was involved in domestic violence. Okay. Now, do the voters have a right to know about that if it's been kept hush-hush? Now, people have to make their own decisions about that. Now, that is about the candidate. That's not about the person. Okay, so if you decide to put that out there, immediately you're going to expose the person who had the domestic violence done to them. But do the voters have a right to know that that person did that? It's very tough because
it's kind of interesting when I think that it is a situation that if you've had something in your life that comes out, I think it's at that point that you need to come right out in front of the people and say, here's the situation, here's what happened, this is the honest truth about it, you can check the record, you can do whatever, and if you still want to vote for me, vote for me. But I'll give you a good example of that, and by no means am I putting this guy on a pedestal, but back when George Bush was running for office, George W. Bush, there was a story that came out that was absolutely true of him coming home and getting in a tussle with his dad when he was drunk, and you know, stories of him carousing and being this and that. He came right out and said, yeah, it's the truth. He said, several years ago, he said, I knew I had to get my life together. And someone started inviting me to Bible studies, and I started going and reading and realizing there was more to life than where I was living and what Christ had done for me. And he said, you know, I changed my life, and I quit drinking. And his wife would attest to all this. Now, he came, what are you going to do with that once he does that? Now, there were people who said, oh, you know, we've heard of this fine religion stuff before. And or people will say, yeah, well, you know, he doesn't act like it now. Or then there's the Christians that come out and say, well, you know, he can say that all he wants, but I see that he did this, this, and this, and he has this opinion. I don't think he's really a Christian. Then the Christians start judging him. It's like, people, get over it. The guy came out and said, look, I was a drunk. I was doing stuff I shouldn't have done. I was acting, not acting like a good son or a good husband. I saw the error of my ways. I cleaned my act up. I this is what I did, and here's what I'm telling you. Believe it or not, take it or leave it. But don't microanalyze what I'm telling you and then go out and have... See, this is the problem. And I think that people need, instead of hiding under a rock, they need to come out and come forward with it. Yeah, this is what I did. Okay? I'll give you a prime example. And I'll use Donald Trump as an example. They had Donald Trump on video talking to a guy that was taping him that said something about grabbing a woman in a private place. You remember how that just went crazy. First of all, it was stupid. Second of all, I can guarantee you, and I'm sorry guys if you think that I'm being jaded, but I can guarantee you if you put a microphone with a group of people in any part of Congress or anywhere that were out having a few with their buddies or doing whatever, you'd hear the same kind of talk out of all of them. So quit pointing a finger and calling him names when you've done the same thing. And it even comes out, and then that's hidden because, you know, but anyway. Why didn't Donald Trump just come out and say, you know what, that's accurate and that's disgusting, and I should not have said it, and it was wrong, and I'm trying to be a different person than I was then, and I apologize to women for saying that, it's disgusting, it's wrong. Why didn't he do that? Because somehow we get in a place of power that we think we don't need to do that. We can ignore it. We're untouchable. And it happens in both parties. You know it does. It really happens in both parties. You know, all the there's been accusations coming out about our current president and the stuff he's done and going a little too far with how he touches women and whatnot. Come on, you know, Joe. Everyone liked Joe before he ran for president. You know what I mean? They did, right? He was good old Joe. And, you know, if you say, you know, I can be a little too personable sometimes, and it looks bad, it gets away, and I shouldn't do that. I'll be honest with you, I'm a hugger. You know, if I even half know somebody, you know, God bless you, I'm going to hug you. And so I can understand huggers. So is there an intention behind why I hug? Well, tell somebody if it comes out. That crazy pastor, you know, I'd been there 5 times, he hugged me at the front door. And, why'd you do that? I just told everyone, that's who I am naturally. Anyone can know me in my whole life, that's the kind of person that I am. My children don't leave home without saying, love you, Dad, or give me a hug, or a kiss on the forehead. You know, and they're in their 30s. Do I have any left? I have one left in my 30s, the rest are in their 40s. But my point being that that's who we are. And I think that people need to start being upfront with who they are, being honest about who they are. Let's just go back to a sense of decency and honesty among everyone. Look, if I'm a hard left, progressive person come out and say, I am a hard left progressive person, and here's what I believe, and here is why. And, you know, don't try to play that, you know, I'm this or that, and then you get on a court or you get in, you know, in office, and all of a sudden, oh, I better play the game because I need to keep my seat. Be who you are so the American people can trust you, and American people start demanding that we have people that are upfront with who they are, and they vote how they say they're going to when they go to Congress, and hold their feet to the fire. But it requires us taking personal responsibility to begin to look and see who they really are. Like I said, go online, vote, Google their voting record. You know, if a guy says, you know, I'm a man of God, it isn't too hard to find out if he really even goes to church or not. If that's who you're looking for, you know what I mean? If you're somebody that, just look at what someone says, whether you're Democrat or Republican or Libertarian, and find out what they've really done and what they really say, because you can't believe what they say. They'll say something all day long. You remember that one of the things that our current president ran on, he had a plan, and as soon as he was in office, he had a plan, and COVID was going to be wiped out in no time at all. Well, the point was, no one really had a plan because they didn't understand the virus. But a lot of people, out of fear, grabbed onto that and said, he's got a plan. There was no plan. It was what was currently in process of, you know, like it or not, I mean, Donald Trump really jumped on this thing and speeding up getting the vaccines ready and getting all that stuff in play. The vaccine started being delivered shortly after he left office because that was the point in which they got into it. So my point is, it's both sides that do it, and it's our personal responsibility that will guide the country where it needs to go and to keep all of them in check. And I think the biggest fear they have today, all of them, whether you're Democrat or Republican, the biggest fear they have is that the American people will start paying attention to what they're doing and actually vote the way they feel they should vote and for who they think should vote for.
Well, you know what I think has happened, this whole conversation, is I think it's mostly on the person making the judgment. I think the second that you say about somebody, well, I know, and they haven't told you, and you say, well, I know how they vote, I know what they do, I know what they believe. Because I do believe there are a lot more shades of gray. I believe what's really happening there is that person is so indoctrinated one way that anything that even sounds hypocritical or critical of what they believe, you must be on the opposite side. You must be over there.
I agree.
And that is a huge, huge problem, because how in the world, if I have not told you how I vote or what I believe in, if you're making assumptions by just things I say, you know, I personally go into a conversation just taking the opposite side because we need to stretch 20 minutes of conversation. You know, so now you've made a judgment on me just because I took an opposite side for a completely different reason.
Well, I think after about 3 years of working with you, Scott, I have an idea. I just made a judgment on you earlier that I said, and what I said was, is that I think there's areas we disagree politically, and I think there probably are, and there's areas that I'm pretty sure we agree politically.
Probably.
Now, that's a pretty safe argument, I would say.
But
and I don't know how you vote.
No. And I think the interesting thing is, as I told people, because this happened in the 2016 election more than any other. They wanted to label you. It was either
because
you are
you
with
said,
us. Oh, anything I said.
Well, but, you know, the thing is, Scott, now one thing you have said, been very clear about, that you've voted both sides over.
That's
the
it. And that's
I know
the truth.
You've said that.
And that's...
So I could honestly say, Scott Spears has voted both sides, and I don't know when he's voted which.
Right. Well,
that would be fair.
It got so bad in that presidential election, the Hillary and Trump one, it got so bad that for the first time on the air, I had to say to people, listen, I have voted in every presidential election that I have been able to. And just by coincidence, this one will swing it one way or another. But right now I'm 50-50. Republicans, and it was the absolute truth. I would take any polygraph to that effect. So these people who were calling me things and telling me how I was voting and where I was, you know, a lot of times I was reporting the news, and I just want to make this point but we have a couple minutes left here. Very quickly, you know, you talk about the Donald Trump grabbing him by the whatever comment. You know, it was a news story. Now, I remember coming in that morning and thinking, well, how in the world do you cover this? Because you can't even say what was said because of the FCC rules. You can't say that word in that context.
No, you can't.
They would fine you. So, what are you going to do that day? I mean, nobody...
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reporting it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that when it was reported, he had the obligation, if he truly thought it was wrong, and should be, to come out and come clean and say, yes, I did it, rather than
Absolutely.
Let it drag on again. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the ball was in his court.
Right. But, you know, the thing of that was, during that whole thing, you know, I had Roger Stone on, who did an entire book on how corrupt the Clintons were. And I had him on 2 full hours during that election telling me everything horrible that Bill and Hillary Clinton had ever done. Now, apparently nobody ever heard that, because if I would have Jesse Jackson on for 15 minutes saying how horrible Donald Trump was, well, boy, oh boy, you must be a Democrat. You're a raving Democrat. Now, didn't I just have Phyllis Schlafly and Roger Stone on?
That.
No, they don't. And that's what...
Didn't you just have... what was his name that's running for governor?
Blystone.
You said Blystone.
Blystone.
I guess you must be a hard right.
I guess so.
Republican.
Yep.
Crazy, huh?
But that's how people think.
Look, we got to get off here, but I do want to say this. Look, folks, we have a personal responsibility to be Americans. To be Americans. To vote your conscience. I hope y'all vote my way. But that's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility to vote your conscience. But don't let people that are power hungry, that are not helping us, that are only out for themselves, dictate where the United States of America is going. You have a foot in this thing and skin in the game. God bless you. All have a good day.
I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I read. And Utah and I talked about this the other night, that write stuff and try to pass over this and make it out like it really isn't here. And it's here. Face it, it's here, it's done. And what she said, and I want everyone to know, she wrote the truth. She would never lie. You could offer her any amount of money and she would not tell a lie.
The legend.